Welcome to Enjoying Everyday Life with New York Times bestselling author Joyce Meyer. On today's program, Joyce will be teaching from her series, Who is God? There are many names of God found in the Bible, each one revealing his character and promises for our life. He is the great I Am. He's everywhere and knows everything. God is all we will ever need, and best of all, he wants a close relationship with all of us. Now, here's Joyce with today's teaching.
Well, I told my team this morning, I said, I'm already in trouble because I'm already one whole name behind. I got about 10 different names of God that I want to teach on this weekend. My purpose being that a name tells you something about a person. So we find there's literally hundreds of names of God, which are basically ways that he's referred to in the Bible. But many of them are capitalized as if they're actually a name for him. Like one of the ones we're going to talk about today is Jehovah Elyon, the Lord Most High. And that's all capitalized when you see it. So it's not just a statement, but it's saying that God is above everything else. And so when we really study these names and we look at them, we begin to know God in a deeper and a more intimate way. And the point that I wanted to make is that anybody who really knows God could not possibly not want to have a relationship with him. And then we also have a category of people that do have a semi-sort of kind of relationship with God. And what I mean by that is they may have a religious relationship with God, where they do believe in God. They may have even said, yes, I believe that Christ died for me. Could even be someone that, because they believe in Christ, will go to heaven. But they don't really know God. And so maybe they prefer a lot of other things rather than spending time with God because they don't really know how wonderful and amazing that he is. I spent a lot of years as a Christian, but I only let God into the Sunday morning part of my life, not into the rest of my life. And I tell you, God is just really fun to hang with once you really begin to learn how to do life with God. So I not only want people to receive Christ, but I want people who already know him to know him better so they can really enjoy a relationship with God. I want everybody to be comfortable hanging out with God. And so these names, you start with Yahweh, which became Jehovah, and then you have Jehovah Dash and a lot of other names of God. And each one of those talk about a facet of his character or that describes something that God does. And so we're going to talk about hopefully three this morning. We'll see. I had grand plans last night and only got half of the way through. So at least I'm usually not short on information. I'm usually, if anything, I don't get it finished. So today we want to talk about Jehovah Elyon, which means the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, who gives all of our enemies into our hands. Somebody say, amen. Amen. Genesis 14, 14, right over in the very beginning of the Bible. And actually, Abraham gave God this name at a certain place in his life when something very specific had happened to him. Verse 14, when Abram heard that his nephew had been captured, he armed and led forth the 318 trained servants that were born in his own house and pursued the enemy as far as Dan, which was a place. Now, right away, I think it's interesting to note that Abram went after an army with 318 men. I know quite well that the enemy he was going after had more people than 318. They were probably well-armed and well-organized. And the thing that I've discovered in restudying these names of God is people who really, really know who God is, they're not cowards. When we really know who God is, it strips the fear right out of our lives. And we begin to come up against our enemies and take action, and we don't mess around with it. We're aggressive, we're not passive. And I even realized this morning, even like in our own nation, and I don't know what kind of issues you have here, probably some similar to what we have, but in America, it was a country founded on the Word of God for the purpose of spiritual freedom. And as long as God was number one, everything was going so marvelously well, it was astonishing. One of the things that we had going for us is we were strong against our enemies. You just kind of didn't mess with America. And that's all changed now. And it's because more and more God's been taken out of things and God is not being honored. And there's a real move there, and possibly here also. It's pretty much going on all over the world. All these people trying to get rid of God, which is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. God started this. He owns it all. It all belongs to him. And you just can't throw him out. But it seems like now, the more God is withdrawn from things, the less bold we are, the less brave we are, the more we put up with stuff, the smaller we're letting our armies become. And so I think there's a real connection, not only for nations, but for us as individuals. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Amen? And we are not created by God to be cowards and cower under everything. Even as far as what I said earlier about how many of you really have an issue with being a people pleaser. That's even based in fear. We don't want people to be upset with us. We don't want them to be unhappy with us. We want everybody to like us. And sometimes we just need to be bolder and say, I would rather have God's favor than yours. And I'm going to do what God wants me to do and what I believe he's telling me to do, because I would rather have a good reputation in heaven and a bad reputation here if that's what I got to have. And you know, these are decisions that only each of us can make individually. I had to make this decision about reputation a long time ago. Let me tell you something. You know, you may love me, but not everybody does. Especially when I first started doing what I'm doing, it was not popular at all. And especially in the culture I was coming out of, it was not popular to do this. I mean, I got asked to leave my church because I wanted to follow this call of God on my life. It just wasn't something women did. And so my reputation in my little town wasn't very good. I was the nutty lady that thought she was going to preach the gospel. You know, the weird one, you know, the Jesus freak. And I mean, I could go out places and no wonder the Bible says that Jesus made himself of no reputation. Come on, think with me just a minute. How important is your reputation to you? And I came to the point, I'm glad one person's happy about this. Where are you at, honey? I'll just preach to you. I remember when I had to make the decision. And I heard God whisper in my heart, would you rather have a good reputation on earth or a good reputation in heaven? Amen. So he went after them with 318 trained household servants. Verse 15, and he divided his forces against them by night, he and his servants, and he attacked and routed them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods and also brought back his kinsman Lot and his possessions and the women and the people. So very simply, Abraham took back what the enemy had stolen. Did you hear me? When we know who our God is, we can take back what the enemy has stolen. All right? My reputation now is pretty good. In a lot of places. So I had to go through that being not well thought of in this one little town and this one little group of people. And so sometimes you just go through all this pain and discomfort, but God uses it to get you to the point where you care more about what he thinks than what anybody thinks. And then, man, if you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, then in due time, he can exalt you. So don't worry so much about keeping your reputation. Let God give you a good one. Amen? Take back what the devil's stolen. My childhood was stolen. I never got to be a kid because I was abused the whole time I was growing up, and I lived in fear. But I tell you what, I'm having a blast now. So I'm getting to be a kid in my 70s. So you can take back what the enemy has stolen. Verse 17. And after his, Abram's return from the defeat and the slaying of, that place. I'm sorry, but I just don't do all these names well, you know. Sometimes I have to get people to write them out phonetically on paper for me. Aren't you glad that I'm not the only one that can't do all this stuff? Or that you're not the only one? And the kings who were with him and the king of Sodom went out to meet at the valley of Shava, that is the king's valley. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem, later called Jerusalem, brought out bread and wine for his nourishment, and he was the priest of God Most High. Now watch verse 19. And he blessed him and he said, blessed, favored with blessings, made blissful, joyful be Abraham by God Most High, possessor and maker of heaven and earth. So therefore, we see God being called Jehovah Elyon, the God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, who, if we follow him, will enable us to take back everything that the enemy has stolen from us. Somebody give a good shout. Sometimes do you feel like you're outnumbered in life? Like everything's too much for you? Think about going after an army with 318 people. And you're about to see something here in Judges with Gideon that is equally amazing. Judges chapter 6, verse 1. But the Israelites did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. So Israel was not doing what God asked them to do. And to be honest, any time that we don't do what God asks us to do, we only hurt ourselves. We actually open a door for the enemy in our lives. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. You can't just resist the devil. You need to submit yourself to God. And in doing that, we actually automatically resist the enemy. Now, none of us are perfect, and thank God for Jesus when we're not. But there's a difference in making mistakes and doing things wrong when you don't have knowledge. It's another whole level when you have knowledge and you do know what you're doing and you do know that it's wrong and you just keep doing it, thinking that you're going to get by with it. Then out of his great love and mercy, God has to deal with us, because if he didn't, he wouldn't really love us. Any parent who would let their child go run out in the street and kill themselves and not correct them certainly wouldn't love them. And so God chastises those whom he loves. Those whom he delights in, he chastises. And Revelation says that those whom he dearly and tenderly loves, he tells them their faults. Well, I remember thinking one time, God, maybe you're loving me a little too much, because I just feel like about 20 times a day I'm seeing something else wrong with me. So they got themselves in trouble. They lived in bondage for a good number of years. But God always has somebody prepared that he wants to work through to bring deliverance to his people. Obviously, he brings deliverance to us through Jesus, but he also sends people to help us. He sends people to try to shock us out of our nonsense and our stupidity and get us off of that broad path and back onto the narrow path. God used some people like that in my life, and I hope and pray that he can use me like that in some of your lives even today.
It's possible for us to become intimately acquainted with God Almighty, the creator of the universe. There are many names of God, and each one of them talks about a facet of his character or describes something he does. He's our healer, peace, and provider. He's our victory banner, righteousness, and refuge in the storm. He gives wisdom and knowledge and all the strength we'll need. Thank you for listening to Enjoying Everyday Life. Your partnership with Joyce Meyer Ministries allows us to share the love of Christ around the world.